Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller, episode number 29. This is the Do You Mind If I Change My Mind episode.
Hi, this is Azul Taronis, the author of The Art of Apprenticeship, and I help people discover what they were meant or born to write. If you want to discover your promised life, then you're at the right place. The Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller.
And when we use data from all the sources here, from our parent and from our child, we seek to have an integrated relationship in our mind, in our life with other people.
You're on the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. Brad believes every person has a God-given promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose, and that you must have a plan and a guide to get there. The Pathway to Promise podcast not only is your guide through the wilderness of depression and disappointment that stand between you and your promised life, but also brings you insights and direction from inspiring, successful thought leaders who have transformed their lives. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise. Now, here's Brad.
Hello again, my friend. Welcome to the Pathway to Promise podcast with Dr. Brad Miller. What an honor it is to have you with me today as we share some conversation and some thinking about things that matter in your life and in mine. We are all about here on the Pathway to Promise podcast about just the understanding that God is in your life in a very real way, and God has an intention for you. And God has an intention for you, which is a promised life. I believe this is a biblical thing. I believe this is a spiritual thing. I think it's a practical thing. God has a promised life for you of peace and prosperity and purpose. And that you can achieve those things, peace in your life, contentment, the sense of prosperity which comes with a generosity in your life, and purpose, having direction and meaningfulness in your life. We can do that, and we can overcome any obstacles in our life that are there, because they're always there, aren't they? The things we often key on here on our podcasts are things like the death and divorce and depression and disease, cancer, things like that. Also debt, overcoming your financial problems. But it all starts in your mind. And I'm going to talk today a little bit about what happens in our mind and how we are allowed to change our mind. And we're going to talk about understanding how our minds work. Did want you to know that our podcast today is brought to you by the book, The Promise Given Life, The 40-Day Way to Overcome Adversity and Claim Your Promised Life of Peace, Prosperity, and Purpose. You can get on the wait list and download an excerpt from the book if you go over to pathwaypromise.com/40-day-way. This is going to be a place also the website, pathwaypromise.com, is also where you can find our back issues, our back episodes, I should say, of the Pathway to Promise podcast. We've interviewed some great people that you're going to learn from, some psychologists, some doctors, some business people, some people in the financial planning field, some people in the health field. We've talked to a lot of great people because we're about total life transformation here, about body, mind, and spirit, and including things like our personal finances. So you can get some training in all these areas if you go to our back issues of the Pathway to Promise podcast, and there's some other helpful resources for you there. Also, if you want to be more helpful to us, if you'd like what you hear, please go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And if you're of a mind to think you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review. That helps people find us. And I bet you know people in your network who we can be helpful to. Remember what we're all about: overcoming adversity in order to achieve success. One of the key things in order for you to overcome adversity to achieve success, friends, is having an understanding of our minds, how our minds work, and giving ourselves permission to change our minds. Sometimes we don't think we can do that. Sometimes we think we're kind of stuck in a rut, or our intention has been set for us by our environment or the place we grew up. It just doesn't have to be that way. There's all kinds of resources we can call upon. I've read probably hundreds of books about some form or another of life change. Sometimes it's about physical transformation, losing weight, and so on. I've been privileged in my life to have lost a considerable amount of weight and to have changed my lifestyle and my physical realm. And other things can be about what we can do about our finances, how we can change the way we think about money, and things like that. But all really starts, I believe, in connecting your spiritual life and your mental attitude, your mindfulness about how we choose to change our life. And so I pursued in my life, for instance, I've been in Christian ministry for a long time and know that spiritual and mental and emotional transformation are all integrated together. And I chose in my life to really pursue this as the life transformation area is just so important to me. I've seen it happen in people, seen it happen myself, and it can happen. But so many people are stuck, in a sense, in a life of meaninglessness when they can claim a life of meaningfulness. And I think that's what a lot of folks are searching for. Maybe you're in that same boat. And I think, I went and pursued a degree, a doctoral degree in transformational leadership and seek this out. You know, what I'm passionate about is how life change can happen. But this is nothing new, of course. Nothing new. It's been going on forever, really, for all time. People have been pursuing matters of how you can change your life for the better and not stay stuck. One of the I've read a lot of resources, and I've came across a book in my personal library, which I refreshed me about how important it is. It's a 50-year-old book now, and it's by an author by the name of Thomas Harris, and it's called I'm Okay, You're Okay. It's about transactional analysis. Transactional analysis is basically about how we understand the transitions that happen in our own minds, our own psyche, and how that's integrated, interrelated, and how we relate to other people. And all that has to do with is how we do life. I just think there are some foundational principles that Harris comes up with that I think are helpful for us to know. If you want to change your life, you have to understand the elements of our own psyche, the elements of our own mindfulness. And Harris talks about there's three aspects of our life that are prevalent. And some of those are formed when we're very young, but they are relevant through our whole life. And he calls these three elements then the parent and the child and the adult. Let me break those down for you just a little bit here. I get into this a little bit today, and I just want to share with you about how this can work and how you can choose to change your mind and change your life. The parent part of our life is that part of our psyche which is really embedded in us. It has to do with the external events that happen to us. That is, in our own lives, our parents, when we are very young, infants really, growing up, our parents set all the agenda and the rules for us, or the adults in our life set the rules for us, because that is when we are begun to adhere to the social norms around us, whatever they would be. And that becomes imprinted on us, and these sense of rules and regulations, how we live our life, are imprinted on us. And this is like the way you're going to do life, kind of what is the expectation of things, kind of what is the understanding of how you do things. This is the external stimulus that comes into our life, but it's imprinted on us. And then we react in our lives with a certain set of norms and rules in how we expect our relationship to others to be, for instance, or our own lives. And we know if we go outside of those rules and norms that we have, that parental part of us, that we start to feel uncomfortable or understand we're kind of beyond that. You know, if you have certain rules in your life growing up that you eat dinner a certain time at 5 o'clock, or you have certain TV shows you can watch or not watch, or certain rules about your language and so on. When those things are broken or when those things are stretched, even our adult lives, we understand that parental voice in our head says, okay, you can't do that. Okay, let's get your act together and straighten up. And sometimes we react to others as parents too. This is kind of the external stimulus, the rules and stimuli in our life. And the opposite of that, or another aspect of that, is the child part of our lives. And this is kind of the internal thing that's going on. That's the emotional thing that's happening in our life. This is how we are internally processing things that happen in our life. And this is sometimes, this is the emotional part of us. This is the kind of part that reacts. It kind of wants to stretch things and try things out. And we want to feel and understand why things happen. You know, I have a new granddaughter now the last several months, and she's learning to crawl and walk and explore things, putting things in her mouth all the time. This is the part of her that's the child part of her, which is exploring and learning and things like that. And sometimes my daughter, her mother, has to parent her to keep her from getting in, you know, putting bad things in her mouth or things like that that would be hurtful for her. This is the part that tries things, this part that wants to explore and to take a bit of a risk in life. And that's really, I have to be honest with you, you know, the child part of us is often the fun part of things, right? And that's where that happens. And so can you see that in yourself? Or you have certain aspects in your life which are the parent, you know, the rules, the way things are kind of designed to be, and the child part, the part that wants to kind of stretch things and put things out and push the limits. But Harris talks about a third aspect of our personality, which is called the adult. The adult part of things is where we take information that we get from both kind of the parent, the rules type of thing, and the child, which is the exploration type of thing, and we begin to integrate it in how we interact with other people. And that the adult part of us is the part where we take those messages, those recordings, if we will, of the child and of the parent, and we learn how to combine them and explore them in terms of maturing in our life and how we interact with other people. And that's where we ourselves begin to make decisions about how we live our life and how we evaluate other things. And when we use data from all the sources here, from our parent and from our child, and we seek to have an integrated relationship in our mind and in our life with other people. And this is just kind of the way it is. The way when things work well, we mature as people, and we have aspects of ourselves, which are the child and the parent. And as we mature, we become more adult-like. You see that in your own life, don't you? You know, in our physical growth. When we grow up, you know, we have certain things we just can't do when we're younger, you know, because our parents need to drive us to school or whatever it is. And later on, we get our driver's license and we have to make decisions later on about, you know, paying for a car payment or insurance and all that kind of thing, getting your driver's license. Those decisions move along. Later on, we make more and more decisions. And that's a constant process of ebbing and flowing. So the healthy person has the rules that are going on, the parent part of things. We have the child, which is exploration, which is kind of the fun stuff, and the adult, which is the interaction of those type of things. And one of the ways that Harris and some others have termed this then of how we interact with other people is four phases that they talk about of how we interact with other people, kind of based on those three elements of our personality, the parent and the child and the adult. And the four interactions that people have, this is the transactional analysis part of this process. How we interact with other people breaks into four ways, four classifications, if you will, or life positions. One is that I'm not okay and you're okay. And that is where position in our life is that, you know, I've screwed up. I'm down, and other people have it over me that I'm not okay, you're okay, means that we have put ourselves more or less in the position of under the thumb of the parental authorities that the presented position of other people out there, and we kind of hold back, and we think that we're not worthy. We have allowed ourselves to be oppressed and suppressed in those relationships, and we see ourselves from a one-down position. And there's also another position in life is that I'm not okay and you're not okay, which is simply, you know, kind of the world is screwed up. You know, I'm messed up and you're messed up too. And therefore it's a really negative approach to things. And you've been around folks like this. Maybe we've all had our times like this. This is where oftentimes where depressed behavior comes in. The world is screwed up, so what's the use? You know, I've been screwed up by my life experiences, and you have been screwed up by your life experiences, and let's just punch the clock, or let's just get through this thing. Let's just exist. And I think you can tell if that's our position, and that can lead to a downward spiral of how we live our lives. And that's not good either. The other aspect, the third of the four life positions that Harris talks about is one of the more dangerous ones, and that's one that says, I'm okay, but you're not okay. I'm okay, but you're not okay. This is where we get a little big of ourselves. This is where, often for some people, this is where the child or the ego takes over the adult and the parent. It's where sometimes we allow ourselves to think too much of ourselves. It's a narcissistic approach, that I'm one up on you, that I got it, I'm better off than you, and therefore what I say go. This is a dangerous approach because it means that we are looking to see others as less than us, that less than us, and of course that's not healthy either, is it? We know this. We know this intuitively. Most of us do. And so there's all kinds of cues here in how we live our life. How do you want to live your life? Do you want to live your life with an I'm not okay and you're okay approach where we're one down? Or do you want to live your life with a I'm not okay and you're not okay where we're all down and out? Or do you want to live your life with a I'm okay and you're not okay approach, which means I got it over you, you know, and you stink, you suck. That's not good either. What the fourth approach is, the fourth position in transactional analysis is all about is, but I'm okay and you're okay. They were in this together. Let's live life together. Let's do things where we are equals in this and that we have a balance in our life where, yeah, we have the child part of us, which is fun and free and that type of thing. And that's the kind of thing where we cut loose and have fun. We need that. And we have the parent child of us, which is the rules. We got to follow the rules to a certain degree in order to get through life. But for most things, we want to have this adult relationships where we integrate our experiences and we integrate our experiences with other people. And you know what it's like when you deal with someone where you believe you have a mature and growing relationship of co-equals. And marriages work the best, for instance, when it's co-equals, when we're in this together. If you ever see people who are married where you know that one party is dominant over the other, you know that most of the time that's not really a happy marriage. There may be someone who's just, you know, capitulated completely to the other party. Or you work in a work environment where there is a dominating personality. It's a one-up type of thing. The boss one-ups everybody else, and a subservient relationship. Much more healthy relationships to be in a collaborative adult-adult relationship in the workplace. And so it is in our world, whether it's in church or government or anything else, when we have this I'm okay, you're okay relationship, it is a much healthier thing to do. But what it means is we have to choose, this is where the thinking, where I choose to change my thinking to one where I'm okay and you're okay too, and let's get through this together. Let's work through life together. And so I just want to encourage us then to do whatever it takes in order to mature in our thinking. I think the Bible gives us some cues here in this about how to do it, about how to do it. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love, being patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It protects. It trusts. It hopes. It perseveres and does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. To me, those are some of the ways that we can mature in our relationship with other people. Those are some things that we can do to change our mind. Be very intentional about not keeping score so much. Be very intentional about going for the truth, because truth matters. Be very intentional about seeing things from a hopeful perspective. Be intentional about being persevering in our relationships that, yeah, you're going to get disappointed. You're going to disappoint others. But keep going. Keep going. Be patient. Here's a key one here, too. Be kind to other people. My goodness, folks, if you do an act of kindness today just to someone, it will make your day because you will light people up. Here's something I want you to do sometime. When you find yourself in an elevator, I do this sometimes when I visit hospitals, go into an elevator with a crowd of other people. Instead of facing towards the door, face the people who are in there and just say good morning or say hello. Or if they're wearing a name tag, just say their name. Say, you know, good morning, Jim. Hello, Sally. And smile. You might be surprised what happens, how people respond in kind. Here's the thing, what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 13. When you do those type of things, we will mature. It says here in verse 8, love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, will pass away. For now we know in part, and when completeness comes, what is part will disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now I see reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. I know in part, and I shall know fully as I am fully known. One of the greatest things we can do, friends, to have completeness and fulfillment in your life is to be known, is to know others and to be known. And in the Bible it says here, 1 Corinthians 13, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So it starts with that respect of other people. Yeah, you can change your life, but you got to be intentional about those qualities of loving other people, being patient and kind. And there's some lessons there in 1 Corinthians 13, which I think can be helpful to us. That's what I want to share with you today here on the Pathway to Promise podcast. It is all about this sensitivity about understand that you do have a God-given life of peace and prosperity and purpose. It's there for you. That's a life of fulfillment. That's a life of mindfully seeking to be complete in your life. And you can do that. And we work a process we call the 40-day way process, and that's what I talk about in my upcoming book, The Pathway, The Promise Given Life, The 40-Day Way to Overcome Adversity and Claim Your Promised Life of Peace, Prosperity, and Purpose. And that's what I'll be outlining in that book. And I do it also, much of the foundation of that's in the first five episodes of the Pathway to Promise podcast. You can go back on our catalog and check those out. Both those things, both an excerpt from the book and some of our back catalog of episodes, you can find at pathwaypromise.com. We're there to be helpful to you. My name is Dr. Brad Miller, here to be helpful to you. We're here every week on the Pathway to Promise podcast to serve your needs and help you find your own pathway to your promised life of peace, prosperity, and purpose. And it starts when we claim the promises for ourselves. So I invite you, friends, until next time, to keep your promises, because there's power in a promise kept.
Thanks so much for taking the Pathway to Promise with Dr. Brad Miller. As a subscriber, you'll be a vital part of the Pathway to Promise community. Visit us on the web at pathwaypromise.com. Until next time, remember to stay on your Pathway to Promise.